Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Thanks, Zach, for leading those songs. He did such an excellent job. And they tie into our lesson tonight. If you will, take your Bibles and turn and mark two passages. The first is 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the second is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. A passenger on a dining car was looking over the menu. The menu listed both a chicken salad sandwich and a chicken sandwich. Well, the man decided on the chicken salad sandwich, but absent-mindedly wrote chicken sandwich on the menu slip. Well, when the waiter brought the chicken sandwich, I mean, he angrily protested. I mean, most waiters would have simply have picked up the slip and showed the customer that the mistake was his. But he didn't do that. He immediately picked up the plate, said, "Hey, I'm sorry for the error." He took it to the kitchen, and a little bit later, he brought a chicken salad sandwich and placed it in front of the customer. Well, while the man was eating the chicken salad sandwich, he picked up the slip and realized that the mistake was his. Well, when it came time to pay the check, he apologized to the waiter. And he offered to pay for both sandwiches. To which the waiter said, "No, sir, that is all right. I am just thankful that you have forgiven me for being right." I think about that and I think, you know, have you ever said something that you later regretted? Probably most of us have. Someone said, "Speak when you're angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." And that's true. While most of us have done and said things that we have regretted, most of us can just, you know, kind of shrug those things off. And they have no lasting effect over us other than, you know, we're just a little bit more cautious about popping off of the mouth until we get our brains in gear. But sometimes getting over past regrets seem impossible, don't they? I mean, maybe you said or did something that had lasting consequences that still haunt you today, and that no matter how hard you try to forget, those painful memories continue to pursue you. Regret. What is it? It is the distress of the mind over something that's happened in the past. It often occurs when the thing that is remembered, the situation remembered, is beyond human repair. And so there is guilt and there is sorrow associated with it. And because there's no way that we can go back and we can undo, only the pain and the memory remembers that is still present in our own lives. I guess for some people, maybe it's, "I failed as a parent." Maybe you did something to end a relationship that was a lot more important to you than you realized at the time. Maybe you sinned to such an extent that you hurt others in the process. And so you have sorrow upon sorrow, complicated now even more because those people won't have anything to do with you, and you can't blame them. You see how regret can make our lives so miserable, even when there has been true repentance? A person with regret can spend days, weeks, years rehearsing guilt, tormenting themselves with questions that can only be answered by speculation. I ask you tonight, how do we as Christians overcome past regrets, things that cannot be undone? Well, I want to say that if there was ever a man who had the potential to have regret, it was the Apostle Paul. You remember how he was a great persecutor of God's people. In that bloody era of his life, he sought to destroy the church of Christ. Something that he would later express much regret over. But was Paul a miserable old man full of guilt and regret? We know that he was not anything of the sort. So I ask you tonight, how did he cope with the regrets of the past? Now, I want to throw out a little disclaimer right here in our lesson. If you have regrets of the past, and there is still something that you can do about it to change those circumstances, do it quickly before the opportunity vanishes before your eyes. For instance, if you're estranged from someone that you love, maybe a brother or sister in this church, and that you are too proud to go and make it right, you need to repent of your pride and make that thing right. Matthew 18 and Matthew 5:23. But tonight's lesson is all about those things that you cannot go back and undo. So let's look at our first passage in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to look at verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show the long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now, to Him, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now I want you to turn to our Philippian passage. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look there in verse 12. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which for Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I think that's kind of interesting as we read that, because we still need to ask the question and answer the question, how did Paul cope with the regrets that he had? I think that these passages and these verses that we read tonight have helpful clues that maybe that we can glean from and help us in our own lives. The first thing, if you're taking notes tonight, the first thing that the Apostle Paul did to help him with the regrets of the past is simply this. Paul fully acknowledged his wrongdoing. We just read that. He said, "Formerly I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man." In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "I am the chief of sinners." You know, I look at these things, and these things had the potential of leaving Paul hanging his head in shame among the brethren of his day. But you know what Paul did? He put them out there anyway. I want to say that we gain no ground by sweeping the things of the past under the rug and pretending like they didn't happen, or denying that they happened, or trying to minimize them. Because the beginning of healing comes when we acknowledge and that we confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Sometimes go back and you read the 32nd Psalm of David after he committed his sins. And what did he say? He said, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old." He said, "Through my groaning all the day long." He said, "My vitality was turned like to the drought of summer." He said, "Your hand was heavy upon me day and night." And he goes on to say, you know, "My transgression I have not hidden from you, and you forgave me." Anyone could read what Paul wrote and see, yeah, Paul was sorry for what he did. You see, it's important that we confess our wrongs that affect other people openly for several reasons. First, we just read, it benefits us. But secondly, it also acknowledges that God's ways are right and that our ways were wrong. I think anyone with past regrets should go out of their way to make sure that other people do not trip over the bad example. We should never want to compound our regrets by watching other people repeat our mistakes. So do what Paul did. He fully acknowledged his wrongs. But I want you to look at the second thing that he did to get past the shame and regret of his persecution against the Lord's church. Paul sought and received God's grace and mercy. You see, sometimes it's impossible for us to seek the forgiveness of people that we've hurt by our actions in the past. Did you know that? I mean, because sometimes they've passed away. And if they still remain, sometimes they will have nothing to do with us. And I believe that both of those circumstances were present in Paul's case. So how did he cope? And I think the answer here, as we read in the passage, is quite evident. He went to the source of mercy and peace. He went to his Creator. And what did he find there? Look back in 1 Timothy. Verse 14, he said, "I found mercy." Verse 14, he says, "The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus." My friends, there is no better place to bring the regrets and the pains from the past than your Creator. He fully understands, and I want to tell you something, when God pardons, you are fully pardoned. Isn't that great? You are fully forgiven. Yet some of you tonight still may say, you know, I hear you, Paul, but still, how can God forgive me for what I did? It was terrible. Listen, if God can forgive a man who just did not sin indiscriminately, I mean, he was attacking the Lord's church, the chief of sinners, my friend, He can forgive you. Oh, there are some precious words in the Bible found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. "For we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all ways were tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace." Here it is, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Isn't that wonderful? So what if it is that you are carrying around with you some serious pain and regrets from the past? You need to go to the source of the pardon. You need to take them to the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort 2 Corinthians 1, 3. But tonight, if you do not know your Creator and your quest for relief must start with Him, learning Him, knowing Him, obeying the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Start there. Start by coming in to Christ, being covered in His blood. And when God looks at you, He looks at you as righteous through Jesus Christ. Be buried with Him in baptism. Rise to walk a new life as a child of God. So what did Paul do? He said, this is what I'm going to do. I don't like what I did. It's ugly. I don't want to look at it, but I'm going to fully acknowledge it. And then he sought and received God's grace and mercy. Here's the third thing that he did. And I like this. Paul accepted God's service plan for strengthening him. Look in verse 12. I like this. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He enabled Paul. He strengthened Paul by putting him into service. One reason that our painful regrets, one reason that they make us so miserable, because we spend large portions of our day reliving them and reliving the failures of them. My friends, this is energy that is misspent. This is wasted effort. It only serves to magnify your helplessness. Don't do that. And I want to say, of course, anything that we dwell upon in life only makes it bigger. And soon we are dominated and we're obsessed over this thing, whatever it is. And you know the answer to that destructive activity? It's a four-letter word. Are you ready? It is work. That's right. It's simple, but it's work. Paul had hurt and he had destroyed the lives of many Christians. What a better place for him to be placed in the service of God. God placed Paul in such a place that every time that he felt a twinge of guilt and remorse, he could channel that negative attitude into positive service for Jesus Christ. He could do the very opposite of what he had done in the past. He tried to destroy the kingdom. Now he would say, all right, Paul, now you're going to help build the kingdom. Isn't that great? What a powerful principle this is. The fourth thing that Paul did, and this is a little tricky, he set out to forget his past. Now go back to our passage in Philippians. Look at the third chapter there at the end of verse 13. He said, forgetting what is behind and reaching for what lies ahead. And so you say, Paul, how in the world does one go about forgetting the painful memories of the past, those regrets? And I think it's important for you to know that Paul's forgetting here is not that he somehow, listen, erased it from his mind and from his memory. That's not what he's talking about, and we know it because he would later write about these things in his other letters. This was not, his forgetting was not some kind of selective amnesia. That happens around my house sometimes. You know, I didn't remember that you asked me to clean my room. That's not what Paul's talking about. That's not the forgetfulness that he speaks of here. And I know while we would like to lose the painful memory that we have, it is not likely that it will ever, ever be erased. So listen, when Paul says forgetting what is behind, this he is not saying that you take an eraser and you wipe it away from your memory bank. That's not what he's saying. But the word forget means this. Are you ready? To lose out of mind. By implication, to neglect. It is the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 16, verse 5, when the apostles, the disciples, had forgotten to bring bread. Remember that? That is the same word. Now, they didn't forget about bread. Well, what is bread? I don't remember what. That's not what happened. As a matter of fact, around lunchtime, they had a good reminder in the bottom of their stomachs that they had forgotten the bread. But what they did is they neglected, they overlooked that which was important. And we forget painful memories in our lives, listen, by neglecting their memory. In other words, we cease bringing them up. We cease thinking about them. Isn't that great? We get busy doing other things. It is sometimes noted that when we get involved into the lives of other people and help them with their problems, what happens to us? We forget our own. We forget our own. I remember reading a story about this young Chinese man. He was over in China, and he had done some terrible things in his past, and he just could not get over them. And he went to a very wise man, and he says, "Help me, how do I get over my problems and my hurt and my sorrow and my regret and my shame?" He said, "You go and you search till you find a home where there has been no hurt and no sorrow, and there you will be healed." Well, that young man went from house to house all over, and every family he talked to, he said, "Do you have any hurt here? Do you have any sorrow?" And they told him his story, their story, and he got involved in their lives, and guess what? You know the answer. He forgot his problem. What a wise counselor that man was. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. I believe people who have too much time on their hands are unhappy people. You say, "Paul, you know, you don't believe in free time?" Well, yeah, I believe that we need free time, but that free time needs to be a discipline and it needs to be limited. But I believe that when we get really busy and immerse ourselves in the Lord's work, that we will neglect our own past, those personal pains that we're talking about tonight. I'm not trying to say that you will forget the event, but you will forget the pain. So what did Paul do? He said, "All right, I'm going to open up and I'm going to acknowledge what I did. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. I'm going to not deny it. I'm not going to minimize it. This is what I did." And then the second thing, he sought God's grace and mercy. The third thing, he accepted God's strengthening program through service. He got busy. And the fourth thing, that he set about to forget the past. And here's the fifth thing, the last thing tonight, we're about to close. Paul kept God's greatest and most noble goal always before his mind. Look in verse 14 of Philippians 3. He said, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." My goodness. Paul had plenty of reason to become obsessed with the things that he had done in the past and let those things invade his mind and control his mind and sap all the strength out of him and be rendered impotent for the work of God. But you know what he did? I like this. Paul became obsessed with his new life. Paul took the things that God offered him and he ran with them for all he was worth. He got busy. He got active in the things of God. There was a young man of 16 who started out in a mailroom of a large company. He ultimately became that company's president and CEO. Someone was asked him how his incredible rise was so successful, and this is what he said. He said, "I put my soul into it." And that's what we need to do with the Lord's work, to put our souls into it. So tonight I want to ask you the question, are you struggling with regrets of the past, shame and embarrassment, even though that you've repented? As always, God's word has an answer for you. It is the most noble goal among men. It is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Reach for that goal. Tonight, if you have a need, we stand ready to help you. We have water prepared. We have clothing prepared. Tonight, you can be baptized into Christ, just like they were back in the first century when the church started. If you have a need, will you make that need known as we stand, as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.